Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon. Praise the Lord. Welcome. We are here again in Walking with God. Another time for another day of fellowship, an hour of power. And we're glad that you could join us today. Praise the Lord. For those who are joining us from overseas, good afternoon to you. Good morning to those folks in the United States. God bless everybody. We are ready to kick things off. Looking forward to a powerful, powerful day, all day today. Got a lot of exciting things going on. We're so thankful. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's get things started here. As we go along, please do ping in people into the room to fellowship with us. Right now, we're going to kick things off with prayer. Last lady, I want to go ahead and pray over the room. Welcome, everyone.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for this fourth day of April 2026. It seems like a long time off, but here we are in April 4th, 2026. We thank you. Thank you for bringing us together again for the daily worship, for the daily fellowship. Lord, hearing from you, we are basking in the presence of the Lord. We are blessed indeed to have a time like this when the people of God can come together on a daily basis, oh Lord, swimming in the word of God. This swimming will take us to heaven in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the energy. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for sustaining us, even in our families, in everything that we're doing. We thank you, Lord. We do not take it for granted what you are doing in our days, preparing our hearts, oh Lord, to fear your name. Blessed be thy name. Thank you, Lord. Let everything be done to your glory today. We thank you, Lord, for our sisters and brothers that were joining us today to speak on this topic. We pray, Lord, that everything will go well. Lord, that your name will be glorified and we give you honor. And Lord, the institution that you have established, the institution of family, the institution of marriage that you have established, oh Lord, that Lord, you will glorify it today. Lord, you will give us understanding of your intention and what your plans are concerning family and marriage in the name of Jesus. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. We thank you again for Pastor Ike that is coming and his wife Esther. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Yato. We thank you, Lord, for all the speakers. And I thank God for myself. I thank God for all those who are going to contribute one way or the other. Lord, if you can share even whatever as we have in their heart, oh Lord, to help others that are still coming behind, that they may see, even if we have errors, we can share it here so that others don't follow the same route. In the name of Jesus, we pray that everything will be done to your glory. Father, Lord, breathe on us today. Let your spirit breathe on us in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and we disinvite every contrary spirit. Let there be no spirit of argument, but let there be understanding. And Lord, let your word be clear to us. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And I'm mute here.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lady Evan, for the prayers. Welcome, everybody. Let's take a moment to ping in our friends. Today is going to be an exciting day all day long. So let's take a moment, ping in your friends, if you would, please. And let them know the room is starting. Fellowship has started. We are here. So take a moment to do that. Praise the Lord. Well, we welcome you into fellowship today. Praise the Lord. We are going to have a great time in the Lord today. Praise the Lord. We got a number of things going on today. Besides this room today, we're going to also be having the contending prayer. Praise the Lord. And I see that Sister Esther is in the listening lounge, trying to get her to the platform. All right. Let's make sure that we can do that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, Brother IK is also here. Sister Esther is here. Coming up to the platform, we're going to be sharing some powerful stuff today, and you guys will be sharing as well. We'll get to that in a bit. But first, I want to tell you about the contending prayer and tell everybody about the contending prayer that will be happening in just a little bit. In about 4 hours from now, we're going to switch to Zoom. And we'll be having contending prayer conference there. So by now, I hope everybody has gotten their credentials to log in to that Zoom platform. We are not posting the Zoom link publicly. You got to register on Eventbrite. The link is at the top of the room here. And get your tickets. It's free to join, but you got to do it that way. That's about 4 hours from now. We're going to have that session, powerful session. We've been preparing for it for months, really. And it's here today. Praise the Lord. So, we want to thank everybody that has been, helping us to build up towards that. We're looking forward to a powerful, powerful time of, prayer fellowship at that time. But before we get there, we got this room here today. Today being the first Saturday of the month, we're going to be doing the marriage and family series. Praise the Lord. Now, we welcome you again to the platform, Walking with God. Today's session will be on building successful marriages and families. How do we do that? So we'll be introducing the topics. We have some special guest speakers today. I'll be telling you and introducing them in a bit. But first, I want to pray and introduce the topic. After I speak for a bit, Lady Ebon will also speak. Then we're going to invite Brother IK and Sister Esther to share their testimony, and you know, we can learn some things from them, how they've been able to also do the same things that we're going to be talking about in today's lesson. Praise the Lord. So let's pray and let's get into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day. Today, Saturday, April 4th, 2026. It's a day that the Lord has made. And the Lord has ordained it. It's going to bring us wonderful things. Right now, Lord, we thank you for all the people that are here. We speak to the womb of the morning. This day, for those of us who are in the morning still, this day must bring us good things. Those who are already midday through their day, the day will continue to bring them good things as well. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light. Gives understanding to the simple. Even so, now, let it be in Jesus' name. Give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So today we're going to be discussing this very critical topic of building successful marriages and families. Everything we do in life needs to be successful. And marriage and family is the greatest thing we're going to do in our lifetime, other than, you know, the commitment we have to the Lord, is when you are in a family, build that family for success. So it's a very, very powerful, powerful lesson that we're going to be discussing today. First, I want to share a few things, then I'll call on Lady Evan to share a few things, and then we're going to call on Pastor Ike and Sister Esther to share a few things, their testimony, practical tips, what they've done, how they got here. Yeah, 44 years that they were celebrating yesterday. Yeah, so 44 years is a long time. I'm sure they have, a few tips to share along the way, things that they've overcome and so forth, you know. Marriage and family, building a marriage and family that might be successful is not it doesn't just happen by itself. You know, none of these things just happens by themselves. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of commitment. It takes understanding. You know, it takes harmony. We're also going to be talking about harmony today. I want to read first a scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus had been speaking, you know, a long sermon. We call it Sermon on the Mount. He's been speaking it for, you know, three chapters, chapter 5 of Matthew, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And at the end, here's what he said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, well, shall be likened unto a man that built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So Jesus is showing us two houses here. One that's built upon a rock. The foundation was built upon a rock. The other one was built upon shaky foundation, sand. And they went through the same things. They experienced the same things. You know, storms of life came, beat upon both houses. One of them stood and one fell. And the difference was the foundation. But what composes or what comprises that foundation? What made one foundation to be rock solid and the other one to be sand? Well, Jesus characterized this by, you know, taking heed to the word of the Lord, doing things according to the word of the Lord gives a solid foundation. Otherwise, if you don't follow the word of the Lord, just do things anyhow, then it results in a shaky foundation built on sand. But remember, they both houses experienced the same thing. In fact, he used the same language in describing the rain that came, the floods that blew against the house, and so on and so forth. Same exact thing in both cases. The foundation that was rock caused the house to stand or withstand the floods and the storms. The foundation that was sand could not hold up the house. When the problems came, the house collapsed. You know, so I want to talk briefly about building a strong foundation. Now, in order for us to build, think of the family as a house. In fact, in the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 17, Mark chapter 3, verse 25, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus referred to a house. You know, he said, well, a house that is divided against itself cannot stand, or a kingdom. You know? Now, it was a response to, you know, a challenge, you know, that the Pharisees and different people were, you know, challenging him, that he was casting out devils by the power of Satan. And he said, if I cast out devils by the power of Satan, how can I do that? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. So if Satan is casting out Satan, it's not going to work. But we see something else that he's bringing out there about, you know, harmony and togetherness and unity in the house and in the kingdom, in the church, in the local assembly, whatever. Any unit that we consider, any unit of society that we consider as a unit that functions together, if that unit does not function in harmony, it will not work. Now, a house Think of the house as a family. Families, you know, we start a family by through marriage. Yeah, so that's why we call this marriage and family series. You know, you can't really have one without the other. You know, every marriage, you know, must be fruitful and build up a family. That's what God said in the beginning. You know, be fruitful and multiply. So his first words. You might call it his first pronunciation to the man. You know, the man and woman. Because male and female, he made them both. You know, and he pronounced to them, be fruitful and multiply. So God already knew that they were going to form this thing we now call family. And you know, having a family without the mother and the father or the you know, the foundation, which is marriage, also is not going to work. We've seen that in society. So the concept of families starts with marriage, and the concept of a marriage that's going to be strong and survive these storms, like the house, you know, must be built on a solid foundation. What is the solid foundation of marriage then that can withstand the storms of life? You know, this is the thing that we were trying to do on this platform, because this is something we don't learn. We go to school for many years. You know, people, you know, get degrees in whatever. You know, some people spend 20 something years in school and become an expert, subject matter expert, or certified this or the professional or whatever. Many of those years, I mean, none of those years, I should say, we learn anything about marriage and yet we're going to spend our entire life in a family. We were raised in a family and we're going to build one ourselves. And yet we take no training through life on the most important aspect of our life, which is marriage and family. You know, now, you say the most important, yeah, I'm talking about our natural lives. Of course, you know, we know that a life that did not, you know, align with the word of the Lord, in other words, we did not align with Christ as the center of our lives, that life will fall apart anyway. So, you know, committing our lives to God through Christ, putting our faith in Christ, you know, of course, that's the most important thing that lasts through eternity. On this earth, while we're here, building our families to be successful and to withstand. That's a great thing. And that's the next most important thing. Now, there is the husband, there is the wife, and then there are the children. When the Lord bless the family with children, and that's the way we want it. We want the family to be blessed with children. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The scripture says, you know, in Psalm 112 and Psalm 128, you know, his seed will be mighty upon the earth. Wealth and riches will be in his house. But also he says that, look, his children will be like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So we see that the children are a very important unit of the family. They will even speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, if we raise these children right, you know, a son that is raised right will be the joy of his mother and father, the scripture says, you know, but a shameful son is like, you know, trouble in the bones. So, you know, how do we set our houses on solid foundations? I was privileged one time, the house that we're living in now, in Scottsdale, Arizona, when it was being built, I saw when they were laying the foundation, you know, and so the builder, they built custom homes, but, you know, they, you know, you can, it's semi-custom, you can change it a little bit, but it's like track homes, but you can customize it. So it's a combination. So they allowed us to come in there. You can, you know, they had a plan, but you can make some adjustments or whatever. You know, so, but I saw when the house, this house was going to be a basement home. So, it was, you know, because of all the, you know, stuff for the basement home, because that's a lot of house. You have a basement floor and another floor. then that means the foundation's got to be really strong. So I came in and I looked upon them when they were digging the foundation of this house. In fact, to my surprise, I've seen houses built in Nigeria and other places. When they were building the foundation of this house, they dug like, I mean, of course, because it was going to be a basement. So they had, you know, they had to be almost a whole floor deep, and beside, underneath that floor, there was yet another level, you know, and they were putting pipes, metal pipes in it. I'm like, what are they doing? They were reinforcing the foundations. It wasn't just brick. But the entire house is built with brick. It's not a wood house. But the foundation had steel. So they put metal rods and different things in different places, corners and so on, you know. And these were going to be like the pillars. Yeah. The Lord himself, he set the earth upon pillars. He said the pillars of the earth, yeah, founded by the Lord. Now, the Lord shows us how to do things. And these people, when they were building this house, they put pillars in, fastened the foundation. The Lord asked Job one time, upon what are the pillars of the earth fastened? You know, so they fastened the pillars. They, you know, put steel, they put concrete, they put all kinds of things. And I was surprised. And my goodness, all the stuff they poured into that foundation and the basement, you know, was a combination of basement and foundation before they even came to the upper level or the top or even the ground level and then upper level. There's a lot of stuff. And so they built, and the same thing when they're building, structures like high rise structures and so forth. You know, the deeper the root or what's underneath, the stronger the ability for that whole structure to support what's above. And even trees, it's the same way. The trees, there are some solid trees like oak trees and some of these things, you know, they spend a lot of time on palm trees and so forth, spend a lot of time putting root in the earth. Even the Lord's scripture says, you shall go root downwards and bear fruit upwards. When they have deep roots, you know, at first, it doesn't look like anything is going on because the tree is spending time going down deep into the ground. You know, it's not just shooting up. Those things that you plant them and shoot up in one day, they're like weed and flimsy stuff, you know, the grass, they don't last long. They don't have deep roots. But the ones that can withstand stuff, they have deep roots. And if you spend a long time building deep into the ground, and then by the time eventually it comes up, it's so rooted and solid. The scripture talks about being grounded and rooted. It's rooted, it's grounded, it's solid. You know, when stuff comes against it, it's very, very hard to pull it out of the ground because it has deep roots. Now, I say all of that to say that, you know, for us to build a house that will be successful, it is a house that must stand. It will withstand. It must withstand a lot of stuff. And it's got to be built on solid foundation. What makes the foundation solid is in aligning with the blueprint that God set for marriage in the first place. We have to go back to the scriptures and see how God established the lessons that we learn from the scriptures. If we pattern our lives according to the pattern that God gave in the scriptures, then, you know, chances are that that family that's built out of that and that marriage that's built out of that will last and will survive. But I'll tell you, and the lessons that we will hear today and the testimonies that we'll hear after, you will see that there's no marriage that's a walk in the park. You know, you got to fight, you know, to build a successful marriage and a family, successful family out of that. You got to be committed to it. The parents, especially the husband and wife that come together, they've got to be on the same page. You're going to hear about harmony in a little bit, because a house that's divided against itself cannot stand. You know, if we, you know, we're going, one person going this way, the other person is going that way, they cannot stand. They must be united in the purpose. And we have to have a purpose. A family must have a purpose, a God-given purpose. You know, if a family, if it's just, we're just got married because we, you know, want to marry or companionship, that's not strong enough. You know, what are you going to do together? You know, especially Christian family, what is the calling and the purpose of God for that family? Is it just to have children? Is it just to build careers, separate careers, and there's no unified purpose? It's not going to last very long. And the troubles, when they come, and they will come, when they blow against that house, what's going to determine whether it stands or falls is where the house started and how the house is laid. The foundation is where you start. Nobody builds a house from the roof. You know, you build from the foundation. And if you don't build a solid foundation, you just put slap some things together, the first storm that's going to come against that probably blow the whole thing away. So when we go through storms in our marriage, when the marriage is tested, what is the thing that's going to make it last? And when it survives some of those storms, you know, we learn lessons from it, and then we see how to grow. There's a commitment that needs to be made to this, a commitment to have success. The same thing when we're going to school. You must commit to these classes, commit to the lessons, commit to taking your exams, commit to finishing the course before you can get the certificate. Unfortunately, for marriage, we give you the certificate at the beginning. You know, that's how we do it. Because there is no end. This is what we have in mind when we give you the certificate at the beginning. I've conducted several marriages. We give the people the certificate at the beginning. But normally, you finish the program, take all the exams, pass everything, and then at the end, we give you the certificate. Well, since we don't expect the marriage to end, might as well give you the certificate at the beginning. So we give you the certificate at the beginning, and then, but that doesn't mean that you are passed, because, you know, it has a concept, you know, you haven't passed. We're just giving you at the beginning, because there's no, we're not expecting it to end. So we just give it to you at the beginning. Because he that made them male and female in the beginning, he said, let no man put this asunder. So we give you the certificate at the beginning. But then you've got to work it out, no matter where it leads. You know, sometimes through, you know, trials, sometimes through trouble, sometimes through good times, sometimes hallelujah, sometimes shouting on this housetop, sometimes gently singing, sometimes, you know, sorrow, sometimes joy, sometimes, you know, major advancements, sometimes setbacks. All these things are coming life. The man and the woman, when they start out, they must be unified for that purpose, to make sure that the house, number one, is built on a solid foundation, on the principles that God founded for marriage. And then also, you know, how they work together to create a beautiful foundation and build on top of that foundation. Even the scripture says, add to your faith this and that and that, you know, in the book of Peter. You know, so we're adding to the foundation that was already built. Well, no other foundation can be laid other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And he himself is the chief cornerstone. So when you build your family, starting out your marriage, on the scriptures, the foundation, the principles that laid out, you know, then you've got a good start. Today, one of those principles is harmony. And Lady Evan will be talking to us about harmony in just a bit. And then afterwards, We have some guest speakers that will be sharing their own testimony of how they've gone through. And you pay attention when they share their own testimony. It's not a bed of roses. What, you know, some practical tips that they'll be giving us on how they've gone through for 44 years, how they've gone through and how the Lord has helped them. Not only establish their family, the family is now successful because, you know, they overcame those storms. That's a success. And they've also raised children. And the children are raising families of their own. And that's success. You know, success comes in through succession. You know, if you can take that as a punchline today. Success comes through succession. If you raise something successful and you're able to pass that on to the next whoever succeeds, the generation that comes after, they can be successful. Even the ministry is the same thing. Success comes through succession. Moses, after he was done with his stuff, he had to train somebody to take over as succession. Elijah had to train Elisha. Moses trained Joshua to take over. Elijah trained Elisha as succession. And this, you know, the expansion even of the work of the ministry comes in succession. The expansion of the family name comes in succession, and so on and so forth. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome today to the Marriage and Family series. Today's session on building successful marriages and families. And I'm going to now turn it over to Lady Ebon to share on the topic of harmony and other things in the marriage and in family. And afterwards, we'll have Pastor Ike and Sister Esther Ibe. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Lady Ebon, you're next.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. Praise the Lord, and thank you, Pastor, for that powerful, powerful delivery. Christ is our solid foundation. When you went through the analogy of how the house was built and how everything was, I was saying, well, okay, where is it going now? Now I see, you know, because Christ is the cornerstone, you know, of every family. And without him, we can do nothing. And so I'll be speaking on the topic of harmony. And we women in the family, we are builders. We are supposed to be builders indeed. And in the book of Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, a wise woman built her own home, but the foolish, we break it down with our own hands. So we're supposed to be builders. We want to be wise women that build our own home on solid ground. We don't want to be foolish. If you're a foolish woman, we break down our home with our own hands, with our own mouth. We put division between her husband and her children. We put division between everything. That's what the foolish woman does. But the wise woman, we build her home. And now on the topic of harmony, I just wanted to go into that first of all, because I like the idea of building that Pastor talked about. So I say, wow, women are really builders. Let's talk about the positive, which is the women building the home and also harmony in the home. You know, what makes a home to be harmonious, you know, in everything, you know, working together. There's some scriptures that talks about harmony. One of them is Ephesians 4:3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. So we have to endeavor to keep peace in the home. Whatever we can do to keep peace in the home, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Forgiveness is a key factor of having a harmonious home. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we ought to be quick to forgive. We ought to be quick. We do not take account of wrongs, you know, as in First Corinthians 13 talks about love. Love does not take count of wrongs in the family. We have to forgive and let go. And if it be possible, you know, in Romans 12, 18 says, if it's possible, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men, including your spouse. Live peaceably with all men. Be considerate. Let's be considerate in our relationship with our spouses, with our children. Let the home be a place of refuge, a place where the children can come and feel loved, feel the love of their parents. And when the children see their children and parents at each other's throats, how can they have peace? No. So if you come for a home where they're always fighting, you will be, your mind too, will not be at rest as a child. So we need to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man can see, we shall see the Lord. That's Hebrews 12, 14. So, with all these scriptures in mind, talking about harmony in the home, amen. Talking about harmony in the womb. When I researched, what is harmony? You know, it's a family harmony is a state of peace, unity, and mutual respect within a family unit, characterized by constructive communication, trust, and shared values. Amen. So it does not mean an absence of conflicts, but rather the ability to resolve differences cooperatively while supporting each other's well-being and growth. So that is harmony, how to keep harmony in the family. It doesn't mean, oh, we never fought in our family. You know, I'm not talking about physical, you know, fighting. You need to avoid all those. You need to avoid that. You need to watch what comes out of your mouth, you know, in your family. So some of the key aspects of family harmony: constructive communication, open, honest, and non-judgmental dialogue, mutual respect and trust, valuing each other's members' perspective and trusting their intentions. If you have to value your partner's perspective, you have to value and trust their intention. If you don't value your partner, if you don't value what they have to put on the table, you make them look useless, like they have no brain of their own. So you have to value and respect and trust their intentions. Amen. And then you have shared values and goals. You have to align on core principles and supporting each other's pursuit. So you have to have a family value. What is the value that in your family? What is the culture of your family? So these things are very important in developing a harmonious home. In conflict resolution, how do you address disagreements without damaging relationships? So we have to address disagreement. You have to be able to communicate. And, you know, how do we do that? You know, in our family, we can talk about issues until we resolve it. We talk about it to make sure that there is no doubt whatsoever in the heart of either the husband or the wife, myself or my husband. We talk about the issues. We put it to rest. We make sure there is a thorough understanding. Someone's mic is opened or something. So we have to make sure that there is thorough understanding of what we're talking about, and when then we put it to rest and let it go. Shared responsibility. You know, are you sharing responsibility in your home? Is it on one person? Is it tilted on the wrong side, or that one person have more responsibility than the other in terms of, you know, the house chores, taking out the trash, cooking in the house? How did you divide it? How did you divide responsibility? Or how is it that to reduce stress on one person so that one person is not overwhelmed, you know, with the responsibility, whether even financial responsibility, you know, unless, you know, the person say, oh, I can do this, I can do that, don't worry. But you need to check with your spouse. Are you okay with this? Are you, can I help? How can I help you in this, to share in this responsibility that is on you, whether it's taking the trash out, whether it's in getting some water in the house. So these are necessary items in the house. We cannot overlook it. We cannot overlook it. So these are the things that we have to take time to look into the home and see how we can help each other as a husband and wife and as children, and training our children also to be helpers at home. You know, we have to show them how to do these things, how to do their laundry so that it doesn't fall on the mother alone. You know, how to, and everybody taking responsibility for their own things that they have to do. You know, in our home, each person take responsibility for what they have to do. If the, your laundry, your this, we take responsibility of what, that things that pertains to us. We don't put it on the other person. We don't. I know some families, all the responsibility fall on the woman. She has to do all the laundry for the whole house. That's a lot. That is a lot. We taught our children when they're growing up, each person do their own laundry. We teach them. My husband was very good at training the children how to do their laundry. At first, you know, it would help them, but they have to be there. They have to be there to see how to do laundry. And it get to a point where the responsibility is passed on to them. So shared responsibility is so critical, and so that it's not tilted only on the mother or on the father. So they have to teach their children how to take responsibility for their own things. And you need to train them right from the beginning. You know, studies show that children that are taught how to do little chores right from when they were 3, 4, 5, 6 are more responsible when adults, when they grow up, they're able to do these things. And especially the children at that age, they're interested in helping mommy and daddy, even when they can't, it seems that they can't do it. Like, sometimes they do things that is way above their head. They want to vacuum when they're 2 years old or things like that. So you have to help them, even though don't let them give up on, don't discourage them rather. Don't discourage them when they want to do that, or rather help them, show them how to do it. And then thereby the learning responsibility. So, active listening in the home. You know, these are all of the things that we need to listen to your spouse. Listen genuinely and listen to a family member without interrupting. Without interrupting. There are some people that only speak. They like to be the only the speaker. They don't listen. We have to listen. We have to show that we are listening actively by eye contact, by paying attention, by repeating what that person says to you, repeat it back to them. You just told me this, right? And then, you know, affirming that you are listening to them actively and not just not listening or just speaking. Some people just speak. They don't listen. So we need to learn how to listen. And even in husband and wife, when a woman is speaking, they want to be listened to. Most men want to give solution right away because their intention is to, as their nature, the nature of a man is to fix things. So they want to fix it right away. You tell them, oh, this thing's, oh, what can I do? Let me go and buy another one. No, I want you to listen. A woman wants to be listened to. So these things bring harmony in the house. We have to have understanding of our better half. What is the understanding you have for your husband? What is the understanding you have for your wife? If you understand that your wife or your husband is always bringing solutions without listening, you have to talk to them. Talk to him and say, listen, I want you to listen to me. I want you to empathize with me. I want you to say, okay, what do you want me to do? Ask me if I need help. Not jump at solution right away.
Most of women don't want solution right away. They want you to listen first, understand what they're saying to you, and then bring out. And then if they want solution, they will say, oh, I need you to help me with this. They will ask for the help. But when they are speaking, listen first. So that is so critical in communication between husband and wife. Constructive conflict, you know, resolving a disagreement by focusing on solutions rather than winning. So let's say that again. Let's focus on the solutions rather than winning the argument. So some people, and avoid argument at home. I don't know. I would say we try. I do not like argument. I personally do not like argument. So we try to avoid argument. We try to understand what the situation is, find solution to the situation, and rather than, oh, I won the argument. So let's focus on that. And then share time. Let's create memories. You create to have a good harmony in the home. You have to create memories, you know, celebration, shared activities and life events. You know, someone is celebrating their birthday. In our family, we make it a big deal. My children know that. Anytime it's mom's birthday or dad's birthday or any of the kids' birthday, it's a big deal. We celebrate. We come together. It's important, you know. Even the little grandchildren, each one of them get their special day of celebration. So let's celebrate one another. I know most of us do this in our families, but let's pay attention to these things. This creates memories. This creates fun activities for the children, taking them out. You know, taking vacations, all these things that, you know, family does. These are the things that bring lifelong memory, lifelong enjoyment that you can look back and say, wow, I enjoyed my childhood. I was able to go to, like, when we were kids, we were growing up, we make sure that we take them to Disneyland, to the Disney World, all the places all the places of interest, to the zoo, to all these things, so that they're not just cooped up in the house. And then, you know, it's a good thing to do. I know most family does that. Let's continue. You know, setting boundaries. Let us respect personal spaces and setting clear expectation. You know, if you have, allow your spouse to have their own time of winding down, their own personal time. It's not all the time that you're going to be in their space or in their face or talking to them. They need some downtime too, where they want to just relax, allow that to happen, and come back again. You know, you can't be having down separate downtime all the time. So come back and spend quality time together. You know, let's spend quality time. Let's set out a time for the family, and then a time I enjoyed when my son, I was so happy when he said to me, I mean, our older son said he has, each of the child has a personal time with him, and they have daddy time. He takes them out, and that was, you know, that's something that I said, wow, you have gone even more than we have done. You having personal time with each of the children right from when they were little. I know we do that too. My husband and I, we take time out sometimes with the kids, but he has deliberately set aside time for each child. And also, I think his wife does the same for the children, and then they all go out together. So these are things that bring harmony in the home and glue the family together. You know, there's some other practices that I know that put a glue to the family, even though it looks so awkward. You know, that the family that stay together, like sleep together, pray together. You know, this is a special saying that says the family that prays together stays together. So making sure that we have that set time of prayer for the whole family, without, you know, breaking it. You know, every morning at a certain time, you know, like in the, if you hear us that, oh, we gotta go, we have a set time for the whole family, whoever is living in our house. Right now we have our grandchildren living with us. So we told them, as long as you have to be in that family prayer. Whatever you're doing, you're going to stop. You're going to wake up 7:30. You must come to the family room. We pray together. And that's what we do. That's this family culture that we want our kids to all to take with them and do. And I believe they're doing that too. So have a family Bible study time. When my kids were younger, our family study time was, I think, 5:30-ish or something, or 6:30-ish, before they go to school. We sit down in the loft, and we have a Bible study and prayer time before they go to school. And that's helped the children to grow, to equip themselves with the Lord, and to help them to grow in their faith, you know. So, and we read some stories. We set boundaries also. Setting boundaries, respecting, you know, your personal spaces and so on. Empathy. Let's talk about empathy. Empathy is showing understanding for the feelings and perspective of others. Your wife, your husband, empathy, you know, showing help, being helpful. I must say that my husband is very good at that. Anytime you need help, concerning you're looking for something, or I'm looking for my wristwatch, I'm looking for my keys, it's also help you at that time. You pay attention. Oh, maybe it's here. Let's look at here. And that is empathy. Not like, oh, I don't care. It's not my problem. You're looking for your key. Well, go look for it. But it would take like any time I say, oh, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. I know I'm going to get help. That's why I say it out. And then here you go. It goes looking at the same time as I'm looking. And that is what harmony is all about. You see, that is what kindness is all about. Well, not, oh, I don't care. It's your problem. You're looking for your key. Well, go find it. If we have the time, sometimes we might be busy, you know, but if we have the time, you might say, oh, when I'm done, I will come and help you to look for it. Because sometimes I've looked for keys for days that I can't find it. We have prayed, and then even we have prayed about it, you know, sometimes we'll get to the point where we say, okay, why don't we let's pray? And about this, your key that you cannot find for a week. So like we pray. And lo and behold, I'll just find it in one little place that is open. You say, what? It's been here all this day, you know, because we prayed, you know, and that is because you prompted your spouse. And when you have difficulties like that, prompt your spouse. Why don't we pray about this? You know, let's pray before we start, you know, running all over the place. And the Lord will help you to find whatever is missing in the home. So these are the little things that we need to take, pay attention to in the home, in order to establish solid harmony in the home. And the children, when they see this, you know, when they see that the home is peaceful, there's no argument between mom and dad. There's no argument between, I mean, they themselves will learn, you know, to be peaceful in their lifestyle. So, and we also, even among the siblings, they must maintain peace. They must maintain that there should be no argument whatsoever. Sometimes they are at each other's throats. I'll tell you, my kids sometimes fight. When they were little, they used to fight a lot. Then you have to be the judge as the parents to call it right and not to, you know, be on one person's side, you know, make the right judgment. You know, at that point, you know, a parent's like a mother. You are everything. You are the lawyer. You are the nurse. If they are sick, they come to you. You have to fix it. Their toy breaks down. You are the fixer. You have to fix it. You are everything. You know, the father also, you know, can contribute as a couple and as a family together, helping one another, helping the children. They can come to mom, they can come to dad when there's a need for anything. So With that in mind, I will build a home that is comfortable, a home that there is respect for one another, for the children, and for the family, avoiding foul language in the home, as especially as believers. You know, we ought not to use any foul language in our homes. You know, we have to be respectful. We have to watch our language. And especially, you know, also our voices. Don't raise your voice. Don't shout on your spouse. Don't shout on your children. All these things matters. Don't call them names, you know, because rather bless these children. Bless them. Bless your spouse. Bless your children. Don't use foul language on them, because this will go very far. The words of parents are very powerful on their children. So we have to watch what we say to them. We have to say good things, speak life into them. We have to pray over them. You know, fathers to bless their children, mothers to bless their children, you know, and all those things. And we see progress in the children. I was in a friend's house who was talking that when her kids were growing up, they always blessed them. And all the children do well. So the children will do well when you bless them. When you bless them, they will not make any errors. They will not make mistakes. And you focus on how to correct them in a positive way. Even when they make mistakes, you can put them back on the right path so that it does not destroy them altogether. With all that being said, I know our sister and brother are coming ahead of, to speak. I will have to end it here. Thank you again. And on the topic of harmony in the home, God bless you all for listening. I will stop here. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Powerful, powerful. Thank you, Lady Ebon, for the shares. What's up? Powerful, powerful, powerful shares. The parents also being the you know, encouragers and enforcers of good things in the lives of their children. That was so powerful. I know we talked about having guest speakers on here, so my wife and I decided we're going to keep our segment very brief. Also, we have a very long day ahead of us. It's a contending prayer that's coming in a little bit. So we wanted to also make sure that, you know, our guest speakers today who will be sharing their testimonies and their own experiences will have ample time to do that. Thank you, Lady Ebon. That was powerful. And again, we welcome everybody to this platform today. I see there are many people are joining us who are not members of the house. Usually we post the link to join the house, but today we're posting the link to join our contending prayer, because that's the next activity that we're having today. And that starts in about 3 hours exactly from this very moment. We will be on Zoom for contending prayer. And what's the Sarah's Daughters platform? Well, that's the other platform that we have. It's hosted by Lady Ebon and a few other prayer intercessors. They go for just 15 minutes, sometimes a little longer, in the morning before we start this room. And so that's the Sarah's Daughters platform. You're also invited to join that one. It hosts every day at 7:30 Eastern Time, right here on Clubhouse, 4:30 Arizona time and 6:30 Central. Those who are in the UK and in Nigeria, that'll be 12:30 PM. When they finish that, we cross over to this room for the Walking with God daily platform. These are daily platforms, so please feel free to look us up and join us. We have a lot of things going on other days besides today. We'll post some other links, but today the link that we are posting here is this Eventbrite link. If you want to join that contending prayer, you got to go to that link and register. You need to register. That's the only way we're going to share the Zoom link with you. The tickets are free, though. There's no cost whatsoever. But for security reasons, that's how we are sharing the link. Register on Eventbrite. Click that link that's on top of the screen right there. Take you to Eventbrite. You register, put in your email. We will send you the credentials on how to get in. But it'll be at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. That's exactly 3 hours from now. We're going to have a powerful, powerful contending prayer time. We have a number of prayer intercessors that have been preparing for this. And we will be praying over multiple issues and even personal ministrations. We're also believing God that souls will be saved even on that platform today. So we're looking forward to that. And because of that, we got to move this session along so we can have some time to rest in between. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you again, Lady Evan, for that powerful, powerful share. We'll come back and revisit this. The Marriage and Family series on our Walking with God platform is once a month on the first Saturday of the month. And every day else, it's some lesson and some series on how to get closer to God. We believe that this platform is changing lives and transforming average believers into champions of faith. That's what we are doing here. And we have many testimonies of people whose lives have been enhanced, improved, and elevated since they've been coming to this platform. And if that's your story, please invite others as well. It is my pleasure today to welcome this couple. They told us yesterday it was their 44th wedding anniversary. And I said, wow, oh my goodness. Well, you got to come share with us on that. Well, you know, some people, other families here that have been married for that long, and perhaps even longer. Just so you know, in case some of you are new, you know, what is your credential for hosting family and marriage series? My wife and I have been married also 50 years this July by the grace of God. But today, it's not about us. We want to hear from somebody else. I'm not talking about us today. We want to hear from Pastor Ike and Sister Esther Ibe today. Welcome to the platform. I know Sister Esther is very, very familiar with this platform. She is a member of it. She's even one of our moderators. Her husband is new to the platform, but I hope he knows how it works. So I am going to turn it over to you guys to give your testimonies. You can speak for about 20 minutes each or so. Give your shares, give your testimonies. Let's see what we can learn from you after 44 years. That's not a walk in the park, I'm sure. So praise the Lord. Welcome, Sister Esther and Pastor Ike. You are both welcome to the platform. We'll turn it over to you now.
Praise thee, the Lord. It's wonderful coming into the house, and I want to seize this opportunity to really appreciate Pastor Yato
and hold on, brother. My dear, brother, there may be another phone that is by you, so we're having an echo. If you are near somebody else, try to move away.
Yeah, I think it's Sister Esther.
Yeah, you have to move away because there will be echo the whole time.
Yeah, because she was unmuted too. She just muted it.
Okay. Praise be the Lord. So once again, I want to thank you, Pastor Yeto, and my beloved sister, Ebu. Your presentation, so wonderful and has touched on the reason or the secret of our success in the 44 years of our marriage. It's wonderful. To God alone be all the glory. I also want to thank everyone in the house. God bless you. And I also believe by God's grace that you'll be able to pick one or two things that will also help all of us to really move on as to make a successful family. Praise ye the Lord. I want to start with Psalm 127, verse 1. The word of God says that except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. And so I want to say that the success story is all about Jesus, the goodness of the Lord, the builder of the house. Sister Esther, or I call her Mommy Esther, because she's my mommy, I would say, because she's the one that really filled that vacuum of the absence of my mom. So she's more than just a sister. She's a wonderful friend. Is my wife and the mother of my children. So she's all in all by the special grace of God to me and to the entire family. So somehow the Lord brought us, or was building us differently. You know, by the grace of God, I gave my life to Christ as a teenager. And she too the same in the SU, in the Scripture Union. So the fear of God was very much there. We all gave our lives, and when we eventually, by God's grace, met, it was a wonderful contact or meeting of friendship, so to say. You know, so without taking much time trying to say a few other things, at a time when we met, or when we started expressing our love towards each other, you know, I prayed personally when I was getting of age for God to give me a wife. And by the grace of God, I received that revelation. But I never told her about it, because one, I never even knew that we could get married. So somehow I kept it to myself that if it's the Lord that it really spoke to me, that the Lord will also minister to her so that I don't influence her decision in accepting our marriage. They were very good friends. The friendship more or less started from our parents, because our parents were also friends. So it's a family friend issue and all that. And so until one time when one of my aunties came around and we were discussing and saw the relationship, and I asked her, is it possible that we could marry? And she affirmed that, yes, we could marry, that we're only family friends, and that the relationship is just from our mother, our mother's side, and so on. So by God's grace, we developed that friendship and agreed that if the Lord, by the grace of God, we get married. And so, but when we mentioned it to our parents or our relations, initially they said no. And they stood their ground on the ground that maybe we are not yet ripe, or we are not, we cannot really handle it. We tried to convince them, it didn't really work out. But we thank God, we both agreed that we were not going to do it by force, that God, if God is in it, he will make it happen. And then, particularly my wife's side, they were not really Christians. They were, well, they go to church, they wore the white garment, and my mother-in-law was very much into the Catholic thing and so on. So we took it up in prayers for their salvation, one, and then for God to touch them to allow us to get married. It took us about 3 years to really go on our knees and pray. Thank God for the fellowship then, particularly Pastor Roland, who to a great extent, and most of the others then, that made it a point of duty for us to be having 3 days fasting every month. So it helped to build our faith, and we took some extra time to also pray for our families and for God to touch their hearts to agree for us to get married. So at the end of the day, by the grace of God, they were the ones that called out and said, go ahead and get married. And we had to celebrate it and give God the glory for it. The whole thing I want to say, the secret of that success is the fear of God. We believed in the word of God. We trusted God. And we made sure that the name of the Lord is glorified in it. And I want to thank God for the ministers that really influenced my own life. Because when we are sharing her testimony, she also told me some of the people that influenced her own life as a Christian while we were far apart each other. Men of God like Brother Kumuyi, who was our traveling secretary in the SU then, Reverend Osweke, the general overseer of the Assemblies of God Church, who was also a very strong member of the SU then, and Reverend Umopai, who was also always in our school to encourage us, and I gained so much from them. So they made a lot of impact in my own life as a Christian. And the emphasis then in the SU was that the rapture will soon take place. So if you come to my room then, you see all those pictures of rapture and holiness things and so on. So those things really helped to really build our faith and strengthen me as a Christian. So when we eventually met and she gave her own testimony as a strong member of this SU2, it was like, yes, this is the Lord's doing. And by the grace of God, that which we prayed for over 3 years happened eventually in April 1981. And we're really happy for it. It was then that I told her the revelation I heard. Because before then, I never told her. And sometimes she would come and say, look, this brother came around and told me he's interested and so on. I say, well, pray about it and let God speak to you. Because I believe that if God spoke to me, he should also speak to her. But along the line, she still held on. And by the grace of God, it happened according to the will of God. In other words, if God is in a matter, if a case is handed over to him, he will surely bring it to pass, and his name will be glorified in it. So, the marriage now, what made it successful? First and foremost, I've said it, because God was behind it. Our backbone was Jesus, the fear of God, and our readiness to serve God with all of our heart and allow God to have his way in our life and in our marriage. So by the grace of God, when we started reading books. One of the books that we really read so very well was Ingrid Turbridge, Mr. and Mrs. Ingrid Turbridge. We read virtually all their books on marriage. First, I Married You, and several others. Even in the concerning child upbringing, breastfeeding and all that. We read those books, we shared them, and it really helped us to be able to make our home. And by the grace of God, when the children started coming, there was one thing I never forget. And that is the fact that I made sure that I taught the children from age one, my first daughter, Joy, you know, merely she registered in school. You know, I started teaching her a lot of things. By the time she was 2, 3, I bought a big blackboard with all sorts of colored chalk and then the white chalk, and I really make out time every day to teach her, you know, because, well, somehow my children come in succession. I had my 4 children within 5 years somehow, you know, but God was in it all and God helped us. So I taught her and all the others gradually, and that helped them to do very well in school. Because I remember then, each time we visited UNILAC staff school, we saw the posters of their work on the signboard, on the notice board of the school. That's the children that did very well. And I see it as the impact of the little effort we are making to teach them at home, you know, before they got a little older. And as they were growing up, I have this belief in me that you have to add some value to human beings, to children, or to human beings generally, to make a good quality of a human being, both spiritually and physically. Spiritually, teaching them to know God. Secondly, to improve how to succeed in life and make headway. So it was my point of duty that anything that I can do in the first place, my wife must be able to do it. So I have to teach her driving. I want to teach her anything that I can do. And if I ever went to school, she must also go to school. If I had a first degree, she must also be able to get first degree. If I have a master's degree, she must also be able to have master's degree. And we prayed about it, and it worked for us. So as the way I was doing it for, to make sure that my wife and I, we are moving together. Not that one we want to suppress, want for me to be ahead of her so that I could command her. No. I try to avoid that as much as possible. I make sure that we operate at the same level and we have the same understanding. And then, like I said, the word of God is first in everything that we do. We have our family altar, like Sister Ebu said. We don't miss it. We always pray together, fast together, and all that. And when my children were even small, we formed that habit of going to Lagoon Front almost every month from time to time to pray together and to tell them about life. And by God's grace, as we also grow in, I visited delinquent children's home to find out what brought them there. Just like I visited old people's home around Onike there too, to find out what kept those old people there. Doesn't mean that they don't have children or they don't have families. And the observations I had from those visits, I used it to teach and talk to my family, my wife, and the children. Most of them, the children there were people that were disobedient. They were not properly trained or handled. So some of them were dropouts. Some of them run out of home and become street children and all that and so on. So I always use it to talk to my children that, look, if you have the fear of God, if you study very well, you will enjoy life and you will live the best of life. And I want to, I made mood bold to say that it really worked for my children. So that even before they moved to Abuja, where I was working then, each time they visited Abuja before they moved down, I took them to Sheraton Hotel. I took them to Nikon. I took them around. And even though we're not able to buy food there to eat, I'll just get them some ice cream. And I told them, look, most of our meetings, we have it here with ministers and all that. And the people that are there, they are human beings. And I tell you, I told them, I made them to understand that they are there. They're not the ones that pay their bills. Government pay their bills. I took them to Gowon's younger brother's permanent room there. And I told them, look, the cost of staying there for one night is not small money. My salary, even as an assistant director then, cannot pay for one night and so on. But some of them come there. That's why we have our meetings. And when we have meetings, they pay for us. And then when visitors come, I know how much we pay for them. Some of them for 1 week and thereabout. They are there because they studied, they are educated, they are doing very well in their field of endeavor. And so if you do well, you will also be there. And I want to say this, that one of my daughters, you know, after graduation, even while she was just doing her housemanship, was there. And for about 2 weeks or thereabout, when they had a program, we had a program, and they were looking for doctors for the guests, that Nigerian visitors. And one of my staff told me, ah, if one of your children is a medical doctor, why not list him? And I listed her. And by the grace of God, that was the first place that Dr. Chichi, you know, practiced, so to say. And after the program, she came back to tell me about the presidents and the ministers that she interacted with, and so on and so forth. And I want to say that that influenced her life a great deal. And today, I know she's earning so much. And she said the first place she worked was Global Fund. And from Global Fund, she started rising and things like that. And what am I saying? That experience that I took them through, you know, affected their life a great deal. And then, so in their deciding on their careers, I didn't leave them to it. I made sure they were guided. When my first daughter took to medicine, the second one said she wasn't going to read medicine. She was going to do pharmacy. I said, no, if you can read medicine, you could as well do better as a medical doctor. And so I tried to convince her, and by the grace of God, she accepted to read medicine. As she changed her course, in the first year. And that was how she became a medical doctor. And she's proud for it today. Another thing that I want to say is that, just like I said earlier, whatever I'm able to do, I make sure my wife is also able to do it. And then my children also. So by the time they were finishing while they were in school, I also have to say something about that. While they are in school, I don't joke with their visiting days. Or anytime they have program or invitation from the school. No matter how busy I am in the office, I take excuse and make sure I'm there. I try to encourage them. I try to see their teachers, their house, master and all that. Try to talk to them and then encourage them. When my daughter was in Buhari Girls Secondary School, transportation there was not very easy until a bachelor's daughter got admission there. And then the route was tarred from the town to the school and so on. Before then, if you go for any program there, you might not get a vehicle back to town. So sometimes I will have to sleep at the hotel around there. And those hotels were just kind of shanty hotels and so on. But that didn't discourage me from attending all their school invitation programs. So it really encouraged and made them very happy. And then when they were in university, it was a duty for us, my wife and I, to visit them on a monthly basis in Jos. Yes, they wanted to go. Some of them wanted to go to Nsukka. One wanted to go to what this school where Pro UJ is. Nabia Zikwe. We tried for the admission there. I saw the competition the way it is. I told them point blank that I don't like the kind of competition I see in some of these universities in the East, where then Joy wanted to go to Nsukka and all that. I said, no, you will all have to go to Jos, which is close to me here. I want to see where you are. I want to be sure you are serious with God and things like that. So they all attended University of Jos, except the last one, when this crisis and terrorism thing became so bad in Jos that I had to change school for her. All of them attended Uni Jos, and they did very well because we were also visiting them from time to time to encourage them and make sure that they were doing well. Another thing that I told the children right from their secondary school is that if you must be a true Christian from home and wherever you are. And so in their school, I said, you must be a member of the Christian Union, not just a member, but an active member. And sincerely speaking, it have influenced their, impacted their life so much that I can tell you today that all of them are more or less ministers, you know, in their, wherever they are and so on. So they all did very well in their school and, they feel belong, they identify with the home and, they feel belonging and so on. I encourage them. And, like I said earlier, as they are coming out from the secondary school, I take them out to teach them how to drive, every one of them. So that, like I said, whatever I'm able to do, whatever mommy is able to do, everyone in the house must also be able to do it. Like Sister Ebu said, in the house, we make sure that everybody can do anything anyone is doing. There are certain things mommy cooked that I enjoy, so I have to stay near her to learn how to make sure I'm able to do it so that when she's tired or not able to do it, I can always do it. So even cooking, sometimes when people come to the house, they are surprised that I enter the kitchen and get cook and prepare something that everybody will eat and all that. We try to encourage one another. And then every one of them can minister anywhere. They are found. Joy in UCH is a pastor married to a pastor's wife. And she's doing very well. Married to a pastor, sorry. Uche is a very wonderful minister. If our mommy would tell me this guy is an apostle. And you could see there. And so on. Amarachi, the last one that got married in 2024. You know, he's also a very sound minister because of the upbringing, teaching them the importance of knowing God and being sincere in serving God. So what is the secret of our success in marriage? One, like I said, is that God built us. We gave our life to Christ and we are sincere in serving the Lord, and as much as possible, ready to do whatever God wants us to do. And God really answered our prayers and is leading us. Now, another thing that I want to say is that we are sincerely open to one another, just like the book of Genesis, this Genesis chapter 2 verse 25, where he said they were naked. Genesis 2:25 said they were naked, you know, and so we don't hide anything from each other. We share everything that we have, both money, spiritual issues, whatever it is. In fact, I can tell you sincerely that Sister Esther or Mommy Esther is the one in charge of every money that comes into the family. And if we want to attend to the needs of our parents or relations, we sit down, we discuss about it, and she is the one that disposes it. And then that is just it. Any huge money or something that is coming into the family, I insist that they should pay it into her account. And because I trusted her. Even sometimes when she misused or mismanaged them, we might quarrel that it doesn't last beyond a few hours. And it never stopped me from saying that she should handle some of those projects. Even some properties when we want to go for. Sometimes, most of them, I registered it in her name. And because I trust, that trust is there. And because I believe that we are one, we are not divided. And so we walk together. We pray together. And I mean pray together. And in most cases, even when we have visitors, to their surprise, some of the revelations that come from her or that we share with them, they are surprised that God could reveal such things. A brother visited from Enugu one time. And while we are having our morning devotion, that revelation came. And sister told him a lot of things. We prayed with him. Brethren, when she went back, when he went back, sorry, he really it told us so many things. If before he left, actually, he told us that what she saw was really true. And that this is exactly what he is facing, or what the wife is, because she's married to a white lady. We didn't know her. We didn't know she's married to a white lady in the first place. But unfortunately, some of those revelations happened and she lost the wife. But what am I trying to say here? When we are sincere and yielded unto God's will and purpose, the Lord will open our eyes to many things. He said, where there is no vision, my people perish. But when we are sincerely serving God, and that unity and sincerity of heart exist in a home, God will be there to guide us, to reveal things to us, and minister to us on how to handle issues. There are a number of things that I might not be able to say here, but apart from revelations and things like that, I can say that God speaks to me and I hear from God in a way. At least I can say of four or five instances where I received specific revelations or God speaking to me, saying what word, this, and so on. And it happened that way. I believe with all of my heart that is the mercy of God and our obedience to his word that is making those differences in our lives. And I give God the glory for all that. Well, time will not permit us to exhaust all that we might want to say concerning the goodness of the Lord or what God is doing in our life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, for the youth to honor God, our Creator, in our youth, before it is too late, when we will not be able to appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And these things we try to drive home to the heart and minds of our children. And it's helping them, and it has helped a lot of them to be what they are today. In their career, like I said, we'd never leave them alone to handle it on their own. My last daughter, Amarachi, you know, the course she wanted to read initially was information. And she said he has gone a long way. And I told her, look, information is very good. But if you can read law, if you can read information, you can also read law. And then you can take the aspect of information in that law and all that. It took me a long time to convince her. I even had to invite other ministers, Pastor Laura, to talk to her. Bro, is it Bro Roland or so? I don't know. Some of her brethren to talk to her. She stood her ground that she wasn't going to do that course. I remember Mommy Esther locked her in the room one of the days and then I told her, well, if you want to read your information, I won't stop you. Just like I wouldn't have stopped Chichi if she insisted on reading pharmacy. But I'm begging you, read that law for me and then give me the certificate. Then go and read your information. It was at that point she knew that we are not joking. And by God's grace, Ami is doing very well as a lawyer today. She went to UK, did the master's program, and she did very well there. She worked with that, and she was telling us that she's building her career with that, and so on. So what am I talking about? Sometimes, no matter what happens, we shouldn't always leave our children to do what they want. Because there are a lot of things that we know about life that they do not know. And we are the ones to help them so that they will be able to build on a better, solid ground. So the secret or the reason for our success, first and foremost, like I said, is the fear of God. God built us, and it's God that is building the house and framed it on a very solid ground, the word of God and our obedience to that word of God. Again, concerning our children, in verse 3 of that Psalm 127, he said, children are God's heritage. And like Pastor Yata said, they are the ones that the Lord will equip to be able to withstand the forces of evil at the gate. And that is why we wouldn't take it lightly, trying to bring them up the way that it will be pleasing to God and that will make us happy as we go on in life. My son also, I tried to change a bit because he was able to give good reasons why he should read architecture. I had to allow him, and he's also happy for it. So brethren, the secret of our success is the Lord building the house and prayers for the Lord to fulfill his promises concerning them. Isaiah 54 verse 13, he said he will teach our children that their peace will be great. And we are also assured in the word of God that they are to be above and never beneath. And the Lord is doing it and has done it in our lives. And for all this, we say glory, praise, worship, adoration, and thanksgiving be unto our Most High God. And I want to pause a little bit here to allow Mommy Esther to fill in whatever gaps. Thank you very much, everyone. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Powerful, powerful. Let's put our hands together for the Lord for that one. Ah, thank you, brother.
Glory, Ike. Glory,
oh,
glory.
My.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
There is a saying, praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, there is a saying we say in our Yoruba language. My wife and I say it to ourselves. We say what? Orolugboyen. Orolugboyen. Well, you heard the man. You heard it from the man. That's it.
Yeah. I said it actually. I said Orolugboyen.
So anyway, thank you, brother Ike. I wish we really. I wish today was one of those days we could go for 3 hours, because this is so powerful. But we cannot because of the contending prayer lesson. But who knows, maybe we'll come back and continue this. So thank you, Brother Ike. That was so, so powerful. Sister Esther, you're going to have to take a shorter length because we have to close. But go ahead. Go ahead, please. Go ahead. Praise God.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I told him that the 20 minutes they gave us, 40 minutes, if he takes all out, I can take only 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. I think the only thing I can add to that.
Please, you can go to you can go all the way to the top of the hour. You can go all the way to the top of the hour. That's fine.
Okay, sir. I think what I will add to that, what God has done, how God built us in his word and all that. I think for me, the book of Isaiah has been my own base of having a strong belief in what God has said.
concerning us if we trust him and give our life to him. You know, all this thing he was saying, we are coming from a background that's finance, encouragement from our families and all that. We are not that rosy at all. I just have to say this because there are some people that will think, until I have this money or I have these riches and all that. I am telling you from my heart that it was from ground zero for us. But there was one thing that was the basic thing, and that is that we love the Lord. We accepted him wholeheartedly, no stranger attached, no, we just accepted the Lord and just decided to flow with him. You know, in the fellowship, when we are together in Lagos, I just bless God. We sat in our place and we serve God from our heart. And that is why I thank God so far. He has not done any disappointments. Daddy was ministering one time. He said, anything you cannot find the solution in the Bible, in the Word of God, is there is no solution. In short, there's no solution to you, but he encouraged us to look into the Word of God. He has shared many things on the keys of power keys to assess promises of God, a maintenance of peace, and so many. In fact, my coming to the platform is like reviving a lot of things that God taught me way back beyond these 44 years. You understand? And I bless God. Psalm 34, I think verse 7 said, test and see that the Lord is good. And we have tested him. We have proven him over and over and over again. There is nothing to prove God for. Just believe and be following him. You know, one of my policies is that anything that God cannot solve for me, I just forget about it. I forget about it. I don't bother. I don't break my head about it. The thing I want to add to this testimony is that when we came together as husband and wife, as friend, you know, as brother and sister, the Bible says, submit you one to another. First, as brethren, you understand, before submission as a wife, and all that. Mommy Ebu said a lot that she said concerning harmony in the family. And I bless God for the little he has used me to do. What I want to add to that is that when we became Christian, because in my own family, it was only me and my junior brother. He's in the US now. He's also a medical doctor. You know, we are the only two people that we are, Christian, that is born again Christian, that is from the scripture union, only two of us. I am the fourth in the family, he is the fifth. Every other sibling, we are white garment church and all that. And I was attending with them anyway, because my dad used to be a seaman. He goes at times for 2 years, he will not come back. At times 1 year, he will not come back. Our mom was a stark illiterate. She did not go to school. So more or less, we are brought up by a woman that did not really go to school. You understand? So my siblings, my most senior sister, the elder one, they are the ones that encourage us to go to school and all the rest of them. And by the grace of God, because of the fear of God, we are never disobedient. Me in particular, being a lady, I was never disobedient to them, you know, but they never made me not to serve God the way I want to serve him as a child of God, you know, as a born again child of God. By the grace of God, I gave my life in 1976 when I was in school. So the word of God sunk very well into me to help me keep my life both pure according to the word of God and trust God for his promises for me. And the dreams that I have as is for a successful home and bringing up and having a good home was deep down in my heart based on the word of God. And I thank God that I was obedient to his word, even to the last. So the thing that I added when we came together was to pray for our families, our fathers, our mothers, our siblings, to understand what it means to be born again. And by the special grace of God, today, every one of them has come to know the Lord. And the Lord made them like a catalyst, you know, for all of them. Till today, to the day when my mom was alive, every one of them, they want to come around us. They want to stay with us. They want to travel down and stay with us. And because of the testimony of what God did when we were planning to marry. I remember, Daddy Ato will not remember. I was staying with my senior sister in Atiwaya, Iwaya Unike. When I was giving the testimony that we had a little setback in agreeing to come to marry, he took time. It was beyond 3 years. When something was raging and raging, he came, he visited me in that my sister's place. In Iwaya, we said we should stay on 3 days fasting. We should pray that after the prayers, if they do not agree for us to continue, well, we leave it. That means God does not want. But I tell you, brethren, after that waiting with us for that 3 days, he visited me in that my sister's place, and we prayed. And it was after that prayer that he just said, okay, well, you people can go on with what you want to do and all the rest of them. And that was how the marriage started. And I thank God that eventually I wore my dress, my wedding dress from my sister's house, because they persecuted me to the extent that they wanted me to run out of the house or maybe go and run and meet my husband and stay with him. And they say, hey, Shay, you say people are Christians and all that. You know, all my bridesmaids, everybody that dressed me up came to her house. And that is where I took off for marriage at a J.K. Randall Hall in Lagos. And we had our marriage. And that marriage was a testimony. A testimony in the sense that all my people, all my husband's people, they came and they saw how the brethren were in unity and did everything. They were saying, these church people, now wow, the way you put do things together. And then our own people, they saw it, they say, these church people, now wow, I can remember Mommy Oladele. You know, the place they used to serve was not enough. Mommy Oladele was putting her to wash plates to be able to serve people. And Mommy Oladele is a most senior pastor's wife today, also elderly and all that. That was that we prayed that the Lord will bring every one of them to the knowledge of the truth. My siblings and his siblings. And God did it for all of us. Then the next covenant I also had with God was that, Lord, this family I'm marrying into, I've had stories of disagreements, of wickedness and all that. My prayer is that for everybody, there are four siblings from my father-in-law's house. There are four of them. I say from every family of these four, Lord, I want one to become a child of God. I want them to have an encounter with you so that at least I will have people that be on our side. When we are praying together. I want to bless God today. Even one of them, after 30 years in marriage that I made that request, one of them came to the knowledge of the Lord today. One of them, an engineer in the family, that is in the extended family. So, then the next covenant I had with God was my children, when the children were coming. I listened to Daddy ministering on praying over your children when they are in the womb and all that. We did that very well. Like I said, we have nobody. Me and my husband. So we always hold our hands together. We trusted God so much that even when we are in difficulty, we are not ready to discuss it with any of my senior sisters because I knew they don't understand what we understand as children of God. So we don't have any other place to go than to hold ourselves together in trying to resolve any challenge, be it spiritual, be it physical, and the Lord help us. So when they were coming, we are praying for them in the womb. We trusted God and all that. And I told God, I made a covenant. I said, Lord, I don't have any business going to preach to anybody out there if my children don't know you the way they ought to know you. Because we know that you don't have grandchildren. What you have are children. So I said, Lord, I can't go and preach to anybody about the Lord if these my four children, they don't know the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be selfish. Four jewels or so is enough for me on my crown if they can know you and serve you. And I want to thank God today by the little that the Lord help us. Every one of them has come to understand what it means to be children of God. Because I know when they know, they will also talk to somebody and minister to them. And I want to thank God, you know, based on that. All of them, when they are marrying, that's another thing. I trusted God for every one of them. We never did any matchmaking. We never bothered. I just kept telling the Lord, they are in your hands. You will choose for them so that they will make the right choice. We will be praying along with them, and then you will do the best for them. And that's exactly how it happened. In fact, my first daughter, one of her sisters traveled to the U.S. one time. And then by the time she came back, my first daughter has already, you know, God has just led her to the person she was going to marry. And then the sister was like, this time that I traveled to the U.S., I was just talking to some brothers, my pastor in Abuja, their children, they are good and all that. So I laughed. I've always trusted God for my family, for my children, to everything that I'm doing. Like I said, I have tasted the Lord. I have seen his goodness in my life and in the life of the children. So when my last daughter, Violet, the one I went to go and look after her baby recently in the UK, when she married at the age of 36 or so, 35, 36, you know, when she married in 2024, the Lord now told me, okay, Oshé, our covenant is now complete. So what is the next thing? And I really thank God. And then from there, God started mapping out the things that he wants me to now be doing. After, by his grace, all of them has gotten married. And she, the Lord crowned her own in a very beautiful way. Just the following year, she had her baby. I want to bless God. It has been a beautiful journey with the Lord that I don't know how to express, but just to say thank you, Jesus. In our career, I remember sharing this also with working with God. When we were growing, go to school, encourage one another and all that, it came to a point that the coming of the Lord, which is still our expectation anytime, any day, none of us will stop his coming when the time comes by special grace. We are about to go to school and all that, knowing our background, where we are coming from. And then it was like, the Lord is coming, all this, all that. Daddy encouraged us and said, plan as if you are going to live the next 100 years on earth, but be in preparation for the coming of the Lord. While you are in school, if Jesus comes, why not? If not, you join Jesus and go, but keep on planning your lives. My brethren, that is one of the key things that sustained this family that is testifying today. And we followed him, that advice, and we continued from there. The outcome today is the story we are talking about. And my own tip and my own advice is that we should serve God and know God for ourselves. For my children, I tell them, know God for yourself. Even for my grandson, you know, the one that is 10 years plus now, by the grace of God, the father is a minister and he's also grooming this young man, you know. in the way of the Lord. So let us, when we say we have given our life to Christ, we should be able to make a good use of our journey with the Lord and being rooted very heavily in the word of God. And coming to gifts, God gave us. You said the Bible says that the gift of God is always rich, is without repentance. God gave us several gifts. Let us also, that's another tip I will give. Search, every one of us should learn to search out the gift that God has given unto us, because the Bible says it's God that gives. He gives it liberally without any restraint. God has given every one of us gifts that can help us in building our lives, in building our careers, in bringing our relationship with God. For the ministry that we came to know, you know, after 1976, some of us, we hear about the scroll and all that. We came into that ministry, and that is one of the buffer for me. Fear, anything they call fear, is not part of me. As soon as I gave my life to Christ, God gave me a kind of heart of boldness to do some certain things. I know some people, some of my children, even when they see cockroach, they will run. When they see cats, they will run. I don't have those type of fear. When we are growing up and we are being trained, you know, in our fellowship, then there is a place we used to have a night vigil at Shomolu, going from that Abuloja. You know, I was staying with that my sister at Unike. When it's time to go for night vigil, if there is no vehicle, I will trek from Unike to that Shomolu. At times they will say they are doing oral or whatever. This masquerade they say women don't see. I don't care. I will walk, I will go there. I never entertained any atom of it. Even as I'm talking, you know, there are some dreams I will have. When I wake up, I will just brush them off. If the Lord does not lead me to pray, I won't pray, because God has given me the confidence that He is my Father and He takes care of everything that concerns me, my home, my children, my grandchildren, my husband, my siblings, my families, my loved ones. So one of my passions today is that everyone that has to do with me, extended family that have not known the Lord, may the Lord give them an encounter. Even in the community that I'm married to, that is my husband's community, we have a platform, we pray for our community every day. Because I believe one thing, the Bible says that we'll be saved and our household. I want to imagine we are a whole community, are born again children of God. I want to imagine a family, extended family, that everyone is a born-again children who understand what it means to excel in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is heaven on earth. And that is my passion. And that is my drive, that everyone that come around will be able to come to the knowledge of the Lord. So I want to thank Daddy and this platform for the opportunity to share. The secret is serve the Lord wholeheartedly. I shared a song on the platform, and that is, it pays to serve Jesus. Praise the Lord. I hid my mind.
Wow, 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 wow. I know, Sister Esther, you abbreviated because of time, and I thank you for being cognizant on that. You know, because of the contending prayer we have today and needing some gap in between. But thank you, Pastor Ike and Sister Esther, for these powerful shares. They are celebrating 44 years of marriage. Yesterday was their anniversary. But I think I heard Pastor Ike say, was he 81 or was he 82? I thought I heard you say 81. If it was 81, then it would be 45.
32. 32 okay. April.
32, sorry.
32 April, sir. Because I was thinking, well, yes, then it's 45 then.
It's 32. It's
32.
No, it's
32,
sir.
It's 32.
Praise April. The Lord. Where was I in 1982? April.
I'm still trying to remember. I'm trying to remember that wedding. I'm trying to picture it in my head.
Pastor Ford took the message and Roland did the joining.
Yes, I'm remembering it now. It's coming back, you know. So congratulations. 44 years. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard a little bit of their testimony. I mean, they could have gone for 3 hours to testify today. But we don't have 3 hours today. We have this event. We have this event today called the Contending Prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look up on the screen, you will see the link. It's coming up here in exactly 2 hours from now. So we need a little bit of time to relax, prepare, and get ready for that one. It's going to be a powerful, powerful session. We invite everybody. Those who haven't heard of it, take a look. Click on that link. And it will take you to Eventbrite. And then you can register to get how to get in. There's no other way. We will not put out the link publicly. You have to get the link like that. You know, for security reasons, that's the way that we are doing that. So we invite you to join us for that Contending Prayer, powerful, powerful session. We're also trusting that not only will the Lord answer prayers that we will lay before him today, that souls will be saved as well. So we invite you for that. But we want to give a special shout out to our special guests ministering on the marriage family platform today, Pastor Ikechi and Sister Esther Ibe. Thank you for sharing part of your story with us. I say part because I know there's a lot more that you could have shared. And we encourage people to see what the Lord has done. You know, let's not be afraid, especially young people who think about marriage, say, well, I don't know. Well, let's not be afraid. You know, they didn't have time today to tell us of all their struggles. They had a lot of struggles, just like everybody. But the key to their success, Pastor Ike told us, is they had the fear of the Lord. You know, and Sister Esther also told us pretty much the same thing. They put their faith in the Lord. And when they had nobody else to lean on, they leaned on the Lord. And they also had each other's backs. She said, we held our hands. We trusted the Lord when there was nobody else to help. So the powerful, powerful shares. And join us every day on the Walking with God platform. And after today, I think you will all know about Sarah's Daughters platform as well. Sarah's Daughters is the one that is holding or hosting this Contending Prayer. That platform hosts every day before the Walking with God platform. It starts 30 minutes earlier and they go for about 15 or 20 minutes of prayer. It's actually called 15-minute family prayer. Powerful, powerful session. And some people who are members of Walking with God today came to know about Walking with God through Sarah's Daughters. So we invite you to join us on these platforms. As far as Walking with God goes, you are in the Walking with God platform right now. Today is just our marriage and family series. So we invite you to join us every single day by the grace of God. We are out here, you know, on Clubhouse. But today, the Contending Prayer will be on Zoom. Be on Zoom, not on Clubhouse. It'll be on Zoom. We're directing everybody to the Zoom place for today. Praise the Lord. Now, thank you all for being here with us. We are going to close. I'm going to let Lady Ebon, if she's available, have the last word and close out the room. Again, thank you, Pastor Ike and Sister Esther and your beautiful family. Thanks for sharing with us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Good morning again. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Pastor Ike and Brother Sister Esther, for that powerful contribution to this marriage and family time. We thank you for your testimony. My firsthand experience with your family was when because we left in 83, just shortly after your marriage, so we didn't get to see those other years. But we came to Abuja maybe in 2003 or so, or six. I don't remember quite. But I know we came to your church, and it was amazing what I saw firsthand with my eyes. All your children were in the ministration. They were the choir, they were the organist, they were singing. And I said, oh, these are my children. I said, oh, my God. And all of them were in the ministry with you. You were, so it takes a lot. And just like Sister Esther said, you know, that was the same thing I believe in. I said, Lord, if these people in my house, under my nose, are not saved, and, you know, I don't know what else. And that's what I think every family should, every Christian family, every believer should first of all, you know, if we put effort in making sure that our children are saved, you know, prayerfully, you know, even if they miss the road, they will come back. We know some children have made mistakes. They came back because the prayer, you know, some of them will say, Mom, anywhere I turn, somebody is telling me about Christ. And that's what the game is all about. So we know others will be able to. We have a lot of powerful marriages here. They have been married for a long time. You'll be able to contribute later. But for today, we thank God for all that we have hard time to do. And as we shall be closing, and so we can go and get ready for the next contending prayer at 9 a.m. our time. And other people will join us too from different times that they have. God bless you all. And we'll be closing the room in 5, 3, 2, and 1. God bless you all. We'll see you in the contest.
Before you go, Lady Ebon, let's just, since we're all here, I know we did in the last room, but let's just, since we're all here, take a few minutes of prayer for that contending prayer. Okay? So
Father, we just pray, Lord, for the contending room. Give utterance, give utterance to the prayer room. Help us, O Lord, to be able to pray according to your will. Lord, it is not a showroom, it is your event. As you have come on the road, and show that you will change protocols, O Lord, on our behalf. The Lord will change protocols. Yes, as you change protocols for your phone, you will change protocols for many people that you. That day is the day of changing your protocols. Of prayers that we thank you on our heads, Lord, that you answer. Things that we have been looking for, our Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, you will break up protocols, Lord. You will contend that prayer. And Lord, you will break up protocols in that prayer. Thank you, Lord. You will help us, Lord.
Thank you for new things you are going to do in our lives. Blessed be your name. We just give you praise. We give you glory. We bring all the honor, adoration, and majesty unto you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, my
blessed be your name. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much.
We may close the room now. Thank you all for joining. We'll see you in the contending prayer in just about 1 hour and 50 minutes. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. See you there. God bless you. Bye-bye, everyone. Amen.